this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and, this first hour, why our special guest is Melody Cederstrom, and we're going to be talking about what's going on in the gold-silver market, what's happening economically, and of course, Melody does support Radio Liberty, and we support Melody and enjoy having her on with us. Hi, Melody. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm doing just fine. In fact, I was just reading the latest Bob Chapman newsletter, just talking about what's happening economically across America. And, you know, right now, the economy doesn't appear to be too bad. The stock market's staying up, but there's going to be a big meeting here in just a few days over in China, as our leaders of Henry Paulson and the other financial leaders of America go over to China to plead with them to begin to allow the value of their currency to rise so that the dollar will fall. And, of course, that will mean, of course, if you're traveling out of the country, everything will be much more expensive. Things being imported from China and elsewhere will be more expensive. But the hope is that at least by doing that, they may be able to do something about our massive financial deficits every year. We're going to have something like $800 billion in deficits this year. And that's almost $1 trillion in deficits. In other words, we're actually spending more than we're getting in, and I don't think anybody individual could do it. Can a nation do that indefinitely, Melody?
Well, we've done a real good job doing it, but I think eventually all things do come to an end, and I believe their trip to China is probably one of the last attempts to, you know, keep things going. And we do look at the stock market, and everybody, again, the stock market, the Dow, is just a barometer. It's symbolic. People believe that things are, you know, they might be affected for one reason or another, but they believe the Dow, you know, tells them that everything is fine. But when you really look at what is keeping the Dow up, the only thing that's keeping the Dow up is a lot of smoke and mirrors. And the crash protection team under Paulson, and they've done it. And there's, you know, it's, you know, you have the cheerleaders on CNBC, and it is really kind of bizarre when you see what they're doing and the reality that, or the optimism that they're trying to keep the investors, to keep the public, so there is no panic. And I was reading a couple of articles prior to coming on your program, and one of them was because I have a lot of investors, people interested in purchasing gold. They hear a lot of information about if you invest here and if you invest there, and perhaps if you put your money in other places around the world, it'll be a little safer. But Russia, I was just reading an article where there was a gas project that was seized by Russia, a $20 billion project seized by Russia. Shell was forced to give up controlling stake after pressure. And so this is what happens when you invest in around the world and in different countries, because you have no protection.
And I think that, of course, people only have to realize that the dollar is just very slowly falling. That actually, it's lost a tremendous amount of value here over the last couple of years. And certainly, there's every indication that it may very well break 80 here within the next few months. And if it does, 80, you have to understand that's on a basket of currency. It used to be worth $1. In fact, it was worth $1.20, $1.25. And now it's down to about 82. And all the indications are that it's going to continue falling, and when it does, the people who have invested from other countries in dollars are going to lose their shirts, and they know it. Well, I certainly agree with you, Melody, that things don't look good. How about the housing market in your part of the country? Is it holding up all right?
Well, I live in a college community, Penn States here, here in State College in central Pennsylvania. So actually they funnel, the state funnels a lot of money into this area to keep it going. You do see homes on the market a little bit longer, but as far as prices, they haven't been touched that drastically as yet. Not as much as where we see in different parts of the country where, you know, the prices have dropped so drastically that mortgage delinquency and foreclosure rates are continuing to rise, and there's areas where are severely impacted, like Detroit and some other areas around the country. So in this area, I can say they're still holding on, and but again, it's done strictly by the state, funneling money.
I think it's so interesting that the mortgage loans, in fact, a 15-year mortgage loan, I mean, you can get a 15-year a loan for a house would get about 5.85%. That's a pretty good price. And even the 30-year loans are not that much higher, 6.11, something like that. They're forcing the interest rates down to try to get people, you know, back in the housing market, but they're not going to be able to accomplish this indefinitely. And, of course, the big thing is that there's so many foreclosures, the number of foreclosures, you know, on people who are in the houses that just could never have afforded them, who had never been allowed to buy homes. And they're having to foreclose on those homes, and more of these mortgages are going into default, and that's going to have a tremendous impact on the international corporations that were foolish enough to buy these bundled loans. And I think that they're going to have to do something just to get rid of all this artificial liquidity, and the only way to do it is just simply make it disappear. And this is what you do as you move into a recession. Why, the artificial credit just disappears, and of course, the people who are involved in these very speculative things, they can get wiped out so easily, can't they?
Yes, they can. And we were talking about the home mortgage. We have Georgia foreclosures. They rose 99% to the third highest in the nation. And, the economists expect 1.3 million properties to move into foreclosure in 2007, and that's up 40%. And even with interest rates, you're right, you can get a 30-year mortgage for, you know, or 15-year mortgage for, you know, 5.8, close to 6. It's reasonable, but people don't have the money. They're so tapped out, they can't even afford to refinance.
Hold that thought. There, we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Melody is basically talking about the problem that people are having. There are a lot of people who are encouraged to buy homes with adjustable rate mortgages, nothing down, interest-only payments for 2 or 3 years. These are people who couldn't afford to buy the houses, yet they were being encouraged to buy them. And now, of course, what's happening is they're defaulting on their loans. And the loans were taken by banks, then they were resold to Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae, and then they were bundled and they were sold on the international markets. And, of course, speculators would love to get a nice, secure loan secured by a home for, you know, with a secure 6.5% interest rate. And then suddenly, why, people are beginning to default on these loans, and, you know, there's more and more of them default, and these major investors who have bought these bundled loans are going to be facing some very real economic problems. And I think this begins to create all sorts of ripples throughout the economic system. The carry trade, which is where you borrow money cheap in Japan for 0.5%. You invest it in the United States at maybe 5.5% interest. It's pretty good. You borrow at 0.5%. You actually invest it you get 5.5% in return. But what happens as the value of the currency begins to fall, and you realize that someday you're going to have to pay back the money you borrowed, and then of course you're getting into more and more problems. And then these people are going to have to, of course, sell the investments they have here and begin moving that money back into Japan. The real fear is that the carry trade, carrying money from one country to another, is going to begin to collapse, and that will really begin to hurt this whole financial bubble that they've created artificially. There's nothing behind it. It's all speculation. It's smoke and mirrors. It's created tremendous prosperity throughout the world. But the day of reckoning is coming, and most people don't know that. Go ahead, Melody.
Well, this week when we talk about subprime lenders. We had Onit, a company, a firm that was bought by Merrill Lynch a week ago. They went belly up because, you know, they supplied money to those types of loans that you were talking about. And so, you know, you're going to have companies going bankrupt. And the American people out there, they don't know what is going to happen with the housing correction. You know, they don't know if they're to believe the Paulsons and the Greenspan, that is, the housing correction will stop at 2%, or, you know, if it's going to be 25 or 40 and how they're going to be affected. So, and as always, the poor consumer out there, you know, will probably believe that the government will come riding along on a white horse and get them out of their troubles. But I don't think they will see the white horse this time. And so it will be affecting companies as companies go out of business. And again, it all impacts the financial areas of this country, the banking industry, as you talked about the derivatives and the major impact that it's going to have. And I don't think anyone truly understands. A lot of people don't understand the how huge. I mean, we're talking trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars and the impact that it will have on the consumer out there. And
well, I certainly say a concern. In fact, just this last week, a couple of the hedge funds, they were smaller hedge funds, but they went belly up. And when that happens, the people who've invested in these highly leveraged, you know, speculative investments actually end up losing half or two-thirds of what they have. There was certainly one of the hedge funds went down about 2 or 3 months ago. And they'd actually taken a position on natural gas futures, and they lost within a matter of just a few days $6.5 billion. Mm-hmm. And of course, the people that invested with that hedge fund, and these many of them are millionaires, thinking that, of course, they're so sophisticated, they really know how to play the system, and now suddenly that money is gone and gone forever, and there's no way to get it back again. And what was so interesting is the Goldman Sachs recently hired 17 people from this defunct, you know, hedge fund, and they're going to put them in to being into the Goldman Sachs owned hedge fund, rewarding them for it. I just can't believe you would hire people who lost $6.5 billion and give them a job working for your company, unless it was a payoff somewhere. They were this whole thing was actually engineered so that the people. You know, in the hedge fund, the owners of the hedge fund lost out, and Goldman Sachs came out very well. Why else would you hire people who just lost $6.5 billion? Unless, of course, you'd profited from their mismanagement. And I believe there's so much skullduggery going on out there. And who are you going to complain to? The government? Why, they're in bed with Goldman Sachs. In fact, where did the new Secretary of the Treasury come from? Why, he was the CEO of Goldman Sachs, and he gave up a $40 billion a year for a job that pays about $180,000 a year. But I don't think he's going to be hurting at all by giving up his $40 million a year job with Goldman Sachs. After all, they're making tremendous, tremendous profits.
You know, their bonuses continue to increase. But I also came across another article that I thought was real interesting because so many listeners and so many people in this country have 401ks, and everyone believes that their 401 can be protected by federal insurance. But this article talks about this fellow in Michigan, and he had put $230,000 in a 401 retirement account, but his employer took the money. Pensions come with federal insurance, but 401s have no such protection. And he had hoped that he would retire with this. And what had happened was his employer eluded the company's 401k. And so the $230,000 that he had saved over three decades was gone. They had a government-appointed trustee to try to recover the money, but workers have been told that they can expect to get perhaps half of what they lost if they get that. And so now he's out there working, and, you know, he's going to be working for a real long time and at a very decreased living standard from what he had hoped to retire. by law, all assets and 401k plans must be covered by private insurance policies known as fidelity bonds, but the bonds are required to cover just 10% of the retirement plan's assets or $1 million, whichever is less. So the company that he had worked with had fewer than 100 employees, so the plan was not subject to any annual independent audit that could deter any type of embezzlement. And this article also goes on to say that about 9 million Americans have their savings in 401k and profit-sharing plans small enough to be exempt from the annual audit requirement. And that's about 20% of the people in defined contribution retirement plans. And so, folks, you have to be careful out there. And you might think you're safe because you're working with a company, and even 100 employees, you know, it's not considered a large company, but you feel secure in your firm. But and theft might not be heard of on a regular basis in these type of firms, and by stealing from the 401ks, but as things continue to get worse. And this was a roofing company. I believe they worked with prefabrication roofing, that the housing market declines. I mean, when we look at the millions of jobs, people will be losing their jobs in these businesses that will be affected by the decline in the housing market. I would think that perhaps you'll hear more of these stories with thefts from the smaller companies to keep the company going. And that's what they said. Pretty much this guy was just a bad businessman for over so many years, and he didn't go on fancy vacations. He wasn't buying the yachts or anything. He was just using the money to keep things going, sort of like our government and the way they rob the Social Security and all the other accounts in order to keep things going. But eventually, what this story also tells us is that things do come due, and there is an end to stories, and things don't continue as they did, just like this company, for so many years. So even with your 401ks, you have to be careful and make sure be involved in your investment. Know what's going on.
And, of course, if you get your money out of the pension fund, you're really better off. That's what I did many years ago. The fellow in charge of the pension fund for the IRS in the western half of the United States many years ago told me, he said, look, I'm in charge of the pension funds. I don't understand the laws. There's no way you can understand the laws. If I were you, I would just get your money out of the pension fund, pay your taxes, and then, of course, you'll have the money to invest the way you want to. And I think that's pretty good advice. I really do. We're living in very uncertain terms. If you know anything about Richard Russell, and he's one of the old-time old forecasters on the market. In fact, they even have a Richard Russell index, and you'll see that posted on MSNBC. And Richard Russell says he's completely out of the market. He has his money in bonds and in gold and gold-related assets, and he's anticipating the stock market will decline and actually meet the price of gold. As the price of gold rises, the price of the stock market, the Dow Jones, will fall, and they may very well cross around about $5,000 for the Dow Jones and $5,000 an ounce for gold. He said that before. Everybody laughed at him. And, of course, he was right in the 1980s. I think he's going to be right now. And the average person, unless they're watching what's going on, takes the chance on losing their life savings, especially as the value of the dollar continues falling. Increasingly, companies and countries throughout the world are trying to get out of dollars, trying to get out as quickly as they can without creating a panic, because, of course, the price of the dollar would fall too rapidly, they would lose. And they own about $3 trillion of dollars. So they're trying gradually, very steadily, replacing their dollar holdings with euro holdings or Swiss francs or other things, because they know what lies ahead for the American currency. Tragically, the other average American doesn't. Well, Melody, how's the gold and silver market doing these days?
Well, it's been steady. 1 year ago, gold was $527, and today Gold was $631. So, you know, gold is up over $100 in a year. And, of course, back in May, we saw gold reach $720, closing on the spot price for the day, May 11th. So it started heading upward, and just as things were beginning to, there was almost a panic where people were calling, where they just wanted gold. They didn't want to know anything about it. They just wanted it. And at that time, just as we were reaching that peak, which if it would have been sustained for any point of time, it would have propelled gold very quickly to higher prices. They came in, and naturally they put pressure on it, and we saw a pullback in gold through the summer. And any time you have that type of a correction from 720 to 550, you're going to have a somewhat of a pullback in thinking about gold, and perhaps that's not what I should do. Now I bought this coin at 720, and now it's, you know, 550, and, you know, I'm going to wait a while before I get back into it. So you have the gold bugs that continue to purchase because they understand it. But the normal consumer out there, the general populace, probably won't be involved in gold until now. It'll probably pass 720 before they come into the market, 800, 850. There's also some economists out there say maybe even 1,000 before that general populace gets in. So anything below that is a great buy for gold. Same way with silver. Silver is doing very well. It had a little bit of a pullback, but it just remains strong. The inventories out there are small. They're declining. And, you know, silver is still an industrial metal, so you still have to. It has somewhat of a small monetary value to it, but overall it's still an industrial metal. And as you see industry slow more, it might have some impact with silver. So it'll probably be some sort of a balance as far as the decline versus the shortage of silver that will propel it. But it will still follow gold and still do very well in the very near future. I often tell my clients that if they need a rule of thumb, they should carry about 80% gold and 20% silver. Because you can't forget that gold still is the item that will protect your purchasing power more so than silver. Even though silver by percentages might outperform gold, you have central banks that are going to gold. Gold is still the all-time monetary metal, and that's what you want to protect your purchasing power. Silver can be an additional investment, and you can also take advantage of silver and its rise as it follows gold. So they should both perform very well. And I've had a lot of calls lately about palladium. Palladium, I believe, is just something that you can add as a, you know, if you think you have all your gold and silver and you just want to speculate a little more in palladium. You know, it's not high on my list, but I have a lot of customers who do own it and do purchase it. Again, it's an industrial metal. It helps out with the catalytic converters, just like the platinum does. And at one time, everyone thought that they would change, the automobile industry would change from platinum to palladium, giving palladium more of a rise in its price where platinum would soften.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment with Melody. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Melody Cederstrom, and our telephone number, if you're out there across America and you have a question for Melody, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Melody was just talking about how the gold market is up over $100 over the last year. Silver is really doing very well, probably, you know, almost $2 or $3 an ounce over the last year. So both gold and silver are doing well. She recommends 80% gold, 20% silver. Thinks that certainly the possibility of palladium going up, it's a speculation, really doesn't know which way it's going to go. Points out that as the world economy slows, there may not be as much demand for some of these items. And she may very well be right. What's interesting is that Jimmy Rogers, who's certainly looked upon as one of the more clever investors we have, believes that there still is going to be a tremendous bull market in the commodities. And he is certainly believes that all of the commodities are going to continue going up, specifically gold, silver, copper, and these other items, because there's going to be such a tremendous demand for gold, for all of these commodities coming out of China. He believes that China is the place of the future. In fact, he's even talking about moving his whole family to China, teaching his daughters Chinese, and being heavily invested in commodities, because as we get this massive expansion, over a billion and a quarter people in China, another billion people in India, and they begin to prosper, and they're beginning then to produce for their own consumption, and you can encourage consumption in those countries, they will consume a phenomenal amount of commodities. And he's anticipating that all of the commodities, they may have ups and downs, but the general progression, if the economy, or the world economy, goes as he anticipates, will be for a continued bull market in commodities. What do you think about that idea, Melody?
Well, I think there will be. I believe, you know, China is going to continue to grow. They're going to far outgrow the rest of the world and economies. And maybe I'm just, you know, here for the U.S. of A., but I didn't realize. I knew he was teaching I believe he has a girl. I don't know how many.
A couple of girls.
At
least one girl, maybe a couple of them.
Teaching them Chinese, but moving there, and but he certainly has made a lot of money in his lifetime, and he is a full-blown commodities person, and he believes in them, and you know, his reports and his estimations for prices have certainly been accurate, but you know, I just believe there's so much instability around the world, and even in China, and I mean. You know, there's going to be, you know, it is a fight for power. There is a fight for the economy. There's a fight for money. There's a fight for power. There's a war. And I certainly wouldn't think of moving to China. Regardless of what the commodities would bring him. But I know there's a lot of them. They're looking to invest in China's gold market. They have China does have gold mines, and I believe they're over there, and I believe they're going to working them and opening them, and looking to see exactly what commodities China does have. So
I think what's important for our listeners to understand is that the leaders of this country have no loyalty to this nation. Their loyalty is the idea of this new world economic system. And, of course, they've sworn to uphold our Constitution, but they don't believe in the Constitution. They believe, of course, lowering the living standards and the economic production in the United States as we transfer the wealth of this nation to other countries. Now, anybody who doubts that has only to read the Earth Charter, which is the official policy of the United States. This is the new Ten Commandments for the world. There's 16 of them there, but certainly if you read this, Gorbachev was written by Gorbachev, Marie Strong, Stephen Rockefeller representing the most powerful nation, the most powerful family in our country, if not in the world. Stephen Rockefeller, Marie Strong, and Gorbachev have written the Earth Charter, and it calls for equitable distribution of wealth within nations. That's, of course, communism. An equitable distribution between nations, and that means we are going to transfer our wealth to China, to India, to other nations throughout the world. So I agree with you, of course, Melody. I'm for America. I want to maintain America's economic strength, but I don't want to do it at the expense of the other countries. I think that we will do far better to get a free enterprise system going in those countries, but you do not help the poor by destroying the wealthy. Of course, they're not going to destroy the very wealthy because they have no loyalty to this country. They're internationalists, dedicated to a new international economic order, and of course, they're betraying the people of America. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening is Melody Cederstrom, and we're talking about what's really going on in the world economically, and I think it's so vitally important that, as I was saying before we came into the break, that the leaders of this country have a different agenda. They're not going to, of course, tell the American people. I mean, if they were to tell the American people, we intend to impoverish you and your children and raise your living standards to that of the Mexican peasant, why, the people would be furious. But as long as they don't know, why, of course, they can, little bit by little bit, increment by increment, they can progressively destroy the industrial base of this nation. You know, they can destroy this just as effectively as a foreign invasion or dropping an atom bomb on this country. And they've succeeded in destroying our automotive industry, destroying so many of our other major manufacturing industries. And about the only thing we're really producing in large amounts now is machinery. We're producing, of course, airplanes. But, of course, the textile industry is simply a remembrance of things past. Much of our mining has been shut off because of the environmental impact on our society. We're certainly an importer of oil. We're an importer of most of our things we buy today, and you only have to go to Walmart to notice all the things that are there and where are they made, why they're made in communist China, and who is it who created this miracle over in China? Why we did. Citibank, Chase Manhattan Bank, Goldman Sachs, and the European banks all investing in China, pouring in literally hundreds of billions of dollars that could be used, of course, to industrialize our country and maintain our industries, is shifting into China. And, of course, because we have no tariffs, they can produce their goods with slave labor and sell them here, and there is no way that our workers can compete. Here, where you have to make the average salary is about $16.50 an hour, and then, of course, benefits on top of that. And over in China, the average salary would be at most maybe 75 cents an hour, and no benefits, and no environmental restrictions, and no pensions, and no health care. And who do you think is going to win in this war? When you've got the leaders of this country who have a different agenda, who really do want to destroy the infrastructure of this nation, and these are the leaders of both political parties. If you doubt that, get the Earth Charter. It's available up on the Internet, and we'll be glad to send you a copy of it. I hope everyone out there in the listening audience will heed what I'm saying. And certainly read David Rockefeller's memoirs. We offer that through Radio Liberty on page 405. He tells you, I am a proud internationalist. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Melody, I want you to get a telephone number out. I want you to get your web page out so people will know how to get in touch with you.
They can always call me at 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And they can visit the website at Gold and Silver Trading, and the little word and is spelled out, discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. And if you'd like to drop me an email, you can do that by sending it to discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com, discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com.
Well, I think it's very interesting how they've been able to hold the price of gold down. If the price of gold was allowed to, function in a free market, why, the price would be far higher. It would probably be up, maybe $1,500 an ounce, something like that. But, of course, this is all manipulated by the commodity markets, and you have your large corporations like Goldman Sachs and others selling short, and just massive shorts, and then the central banks of the world are selling out gold or selling their products of gold. Why? Because they want to give the impression that gold is not something of inherent value so that you'll have nothing to trade but their useless paper money, which they're destroying the value of. And one of these days, this whole house of cards is going to come tumbling down. There's no instance in all history where a fiat money system has survived for more than a relatively few years. I'm amazed that they've been able to accomplish what they have. And they're reconstructing the entire world. What you're seeing throughout the third world countries is truly an economic miracle, but it's all done with smoke and mirrors without any real value behind it. And when the day of reckoning comes, they will either have to, either let this thing tumble down into chaos or completely destroy the value of currency. And when that happens, everybody who has stocks or bonds or annuities or certainly pension funds, anything tied to currency, is going to be impoverished. Can you see that happening, Melody?
Absolutely. I mean, you talked about the American people being betrayed. We were betrayed. We were used. They used Wall Street. The bankers used Wall Street in order to finance their agenda. And they're able to continue to accomplish their goals and all these years, because I'm amazed that they can continue to hold the price of gold. I am amazed that they have the power that they do have. But when you think of the people of this country, and they are so busy, they've been conditioned to be busy about everything other than what is important. It's kind of like, they can pretty much do anything. And I believe there's going to have to be some awakening by the people of this country, if they are to be slowed down at all. But if people that have their funds in Wall Street, if you really believe that you're going to be able to walk away with it, with all the money that you have in there invested, whether it be pension funds or retirement accounts or whatever it might be in your stocks, they're not going to let you walk away from it, because they do want to impoverish you. They don't want you to have anything because they can't control you at that time. And as long as people continue to have their funds taken out and the money funneled to Wall Street, they will continue with their plan. And we'll just have to wait until something from, left field comes along, the one time when something happens that's not planned, an unplanned event comes along that, perhaps it'll wake people up and move things for the better, but this country, I don't know, but I believe that we finance it, it's just amazing that the American people just, they'd rather have their, in which they won't have for very long if they can't afford their monthly payments on their mortgage homes, but they wanted their McMansions. They were sort of bought off. They were able to be consumers. We have an economy that two-thirds of our economy is all buying, and it's all been produced by debt. And it is amazing.
It really is. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, the people who really run the world have a plan, and their plan is to create trade blocks throughout the world. In fact, the major competitor to the United States today, other than China, is actually the European Union, and certainly Germany has, I think, is probably the third or fourth largest economy in the world, probably the United States, the first largest economy, Japan second, Germany the third. China now has taken the fourth position. Actually, of course, California is sixth or seventh. If we were a nation, we'd be the sixth or seventh largest economy in the entire world. But, what is happening is, of course, everybody is forming trade blocks. They're forming a trade block in Europe. And this has actually been encouraged and financed by our own country to create a competitor for us that I think eventually one day will supersede the United States and become the major force in the world. And then, of course, we've created the China and the Asian trading system. And then, of course, we're creating a similar system, trading blocks in South America under the direction of Hugo Chavez, who everybody believes is the enemy of the United States, but he is simply, in my estimation, a tool of the internationalists. They're doing the same thing in Africa and with the Arab countries. And, of course, that as more and more strength goes to these other supranational groups, they are going to unite against the United States. There's growing hatred of our country throughout the world. And the best way to attack this country is economically. And if they simply refuse to allow the use of the American dollar as the reserve currency of the world, then all of these trillions of dollars that are held throughout the rest of the world will come tumbling back in here. We've already lost 25% of our manufacturing, and I'm talking about the manufacturing that's still here. 25% of that belongs to foreign companies, and pretty soon it'll be 50, and then 75%, and then pretty soon why America will be a third world country with all of our major manufacturing owned by foreign countries. Right now, the foreigners are holding about $3 trillion in American dollars. What are they going to do with that money? With the value of the currency falling, they have to put it into something tangible. Why not buy America? And that's in the process of doing. And the average American really doesn't see what's actually happening behind the scenes. Well, again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you agree, if you disagree, if you have a question, give us a call. But I really do believe that sometime within this next year, whether it'll be a cataclysmic event or whether it'll be simply a gradual process, or as Paul Volcker said, he didn't know what was going to happen, but he knew we were skating on thin ice. And whether it was, you know, by a catastrophic event or a minor event with a bang or a whimper, something was going to happen that was going to disrupt this whole world economic system. And Paul Volcker ought to know very well. He's one of the key members of the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission. He's one of the elite who rules the world. And, of course, the elite who are ruling the world are getting their money out of dollars. Certainly, Warren Buffett, again this year, is shorting the dollar to the tune of billions of dollars. Last year, he lost $900 million shorting the dollar. And what's he doing this year? He's shorting the dollar. And believe me, Warren Buffett's a pretty smart guy. And we find that the George Soros's of the world and the Bill Gates and these others are getting their money out of the United States into foreign investments because they know what lies ahead. But, of course, the one thing they do not want is for the American people to understand what lies ahead until it's too late, of course, to protect their life savings. You know, my concern is, Melody, that an awful lot of people, when this whole house of cards comes tumbling down, are going to get hurt terribly badly.
Yes, they will. They will be hurt because they won't have that insurance policy that protects them against those type of financial situations and declines of the U.S. dollar. And that insurance policy that they should be owning is gold, because that will protect them against a falling dollar. And that is why they are so fearful of a rising price in gold. Because as we see the gold rise, that means the dollar is going down. That is so simple, it's hard to believe that people just don't see it in those terms. And that's all it is. Gold rises because you have the dollar losing its value. And so we will see that. We'll see gold continue to rise. And there's one way that people can protect themselves against a falling dollar is by purchasing gold.
And I certainly feel that it's vitally important that people begin to make preparations. You may never get rich at all in investing in precious metals, but you protect the value of what you have. And this, of course, is the important thing. When you have, you know, a currency instability, of course, this is what creates social instability. And it is my belief that is why just this last month, they put through these two pieces of legislation, the Military Commission Act and the John Warner Defense Appropriations Act, a Defense Authorization Act. But what this really does is allow, in the case of a civilian unrest or a disaster or an epidemic in the United States, the establishment of a military dictatorship of martial law. In fact, certainly the Senator of Patrick Leahy, a senator from Vermont, has said this legislation, referring to the John Warner Act, actually encourages the president to establish a martial law in the United States. And now he can use the American troops against American personnel. Never been able to do that before. He can actually seize control of the National Guard without the consent of the governor and use it against the people. Why at this time, you know, in the year 2006, would they pass this legislation? Well, because I believe that they know what lies ahead. It was just so interesting. In the closing days of this congressional session, they appropriated, I don't know, $85 or $100 million to keep open the Japanese concentration camps from the Second World War. And, of course, we put 125,000 Japanese into these concentration camps. They've just been sitting there idly for all these years. And somebody said, oh, we should never let those camps fade in. We have to remember what a terrible, unjust thing it was, to put those Japanese into concentration camps. So they're going to refurbish these 10 Japanese internment camps. And they voted close to $100 million to do that in the closing session of Congress just a few days ago. Why did they vote, almost $100 million to refurbish 10 concentration camps? Because we don't want to forget what we did to the Japanese in 1941, or do they anticipate that they're going to need them because of civilian unrest in America? In the same way, of course, as you know, they have given Halliburton $385 million to build new detention camps in the United States. Well, President Bush has said we can't round up all the illegal immigrants and put them, send them home. Are we going to put them into concentration camps? Or are those for dissidents here in the United States? Why doesn't anybody want to ask these questions, Melody? None of this makes sense unless the people, the elite who rule this country from behind the scenes, are really planning to declare a military dictatorship in the United States under the guise of, an epidemic, under the guise of, civilian unrest, under the guise of, a major catastrophe, an act of God, and we've got to have the military be able to shoot Americans because how else are we going to maintain law and order? And why would they want to use the military against the American people? You have police for that. Why is the president, why are the people who control President Bush so intent upon getting this legislation through the Military Commission Act and the John Warner Act? And if you haven't read these and you haven't gone into them, we'll be putting together a 4-tape set on this subject and you can order this. You need to understand the implications of the new legislation and the implications of giving $385 million to Halliburton to build detention camps, and almost $100 million to refurbish the Japanese concentration camps that were used in 1941. And I bet you haven't heard that mentioned any place, have you, Melody?
No, you haven't. And, Dr. Stan, when I do business in town and state college, I talk to people and I try to find out. And they certainly don't hear about information like that. And, they look at everything as this is the new world in which we live, and that it's the way it's supposed to be, and that it's for their own protection and safety and security, and that they have total trust in Washington. And it always amazes me when I hear these statements, and because then I'll respond. And they just look at you with these dopey eyes that they don't understand. And it just, when you repeat what you just repeat to them, or what you just said, they can't grasp it. And I'm not talking, these are fairly intelligent people. They just can't accept, or they do accept the new world in which is about to be bestowed upon them. And so when you talk about the concentration camps and, you talk about unrest, is the unrest going to come from these people? I don't know.
Well, I think that what we need to do, of course, is try to educate the American people and make them understand that freedom is not free, that tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. We've been very, very fortunate to live here as free people in a free society, but it's not going to last because there really are people who want a dictatorship. There are people who worship a different god. Well, we've got Dick calling in from Cincinnati. Hi, Dick. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I've been listening to your show here on Christian radio station in Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, right.
Yeah, and I keep hearing about buying gold, and I am extremely ignorant about this whole thing. do you actually buy gold, the metal? Do you buy gold stocks?
Well, why don't you, Melody, why don't you talk to him? Should he buy the metal? Should he buy the gold stocks? How should he actually go about that?
Well, my first number one rule is you should always take possession of your gold. You need to have it by your side. When you buy any other type, I know there's a lot of products out there. You have e-gold. You have the electronic trading funds of gold and silver. You have silver stocks. And the only thing I say to those are paper investments, and they are paid for by the U.S. dollar.
Melody, we're just about out of time. Why don't you get your telephone number off one more time, and Dick, just hang on. We'll carry over into the break here, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Melody, go ahead.
The phone number is 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
And the website?
The website is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net, discountgoldandsilvertrading.net.
Okay, we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we have Dick calling from Cincinnati, and Melody is certainly suggesting that buying and taking physical possession of gold, and would you suggest silver as well?
Absolutely. You should take an accounting of your hard assets and a minimum of 30% to 50% of your assets should be in gold and silver.
Well, of course, that would be at this time, because these are different than the times in the past.
Well,
a
minimum.
Right now we have such a falling dollar, and we have really monetary instability, and we're moving, I believe, towards financial chaos, and with that comes a chaotic society. But go ahead, Melody.
A minimum of 30 to 50%. The majority of my clients are more heavily, they'll have 75 or 100% invested in gold and silver. But many times when you have a first-time buyer into gold and they look at their hard assets, it's very difficult for them to say, well, I'm going to put 100% of it into gold, even though that's probably what they should be doing. But a minimum should be 30 to 50%. And then it really is your investment objective. I mean, I can't stress Dr. Stan is correct. I mean, we do have a dollar that's going to be declining. And so it is important to take possession of your gold. And when you have those dollar-denominated investments, they're dollar-denominated. That goes down. The dollar goes down, your investments go down. So it is important.
Well, what sort of coin should be in, though? Should you be in bars? Should you be in coins? Should you be in collector coins?
You need to be invested in coins. At one point in time, bars were popular because there wasn't the selection of coins that you have today. You want something that's highly recognizable. Coins are more highly recognizable than bars. Bars are sold for very large amounts. But for 1 ounce bars, you're better off going to the coins. Then you have the selection in bullion. I believe in being diversified. Of that percentage of your hard assets, 80% needs to be in gold, 20% needs to be in silver. You need to be diversified. I believe in having gold bullion in your portfolio, and I believe in you need to have numismatics to offset one another. You have your gold bullion so that if you have an emergency and you need to sell it for some cash, you sell your gold bullion. You have your numismatic coins, so when you have the increased profit potential, when that happens, you'll be able to take advantage of the increased prices of the numismatic coins. And when I talk about numismatic coins, I'm not talking about rare coins.
Hey, we're just about out of time. Dick, thank you so much for calling. We're drawn to the end of the program. Anything else you want to say?
I was just going to say the 800 number that Melody gave me, I could call her at another time and talk to her?
Right.
Yes, please do.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank
Bye
you,
now.
Dave.
Dan, Melody, God bless, and thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. That was Dr. Melody Cedar-Simsman, I guess, this evening. And, of course, I think it's vitally important that people understand we're living in uncertain times. We have a great talk on finances. It's called the Financial Tsunami, and there's a syllabus that goes with that that gives you the figures coming from the Federal Reserve System and gives you an idea of the major corporations we no longer own, where the gold is, how it's transferred back and forth. And we also have a little pamphlet made up of the newsletters we have. It's called The History of Money. Of course, you can go up on the Internet and pull that down, The History of Money. It's available on the Internet or at RadioLiberty.com. But if you'd like to get the little pamphlet, just The History of Money, it's about 5 newsletters. It gives you a pretty good overview of what money really is, what it should be, and, of course, what it's become today. A piece of paper with some green ink, and now even a little red ink splashed on it. Well, then, of course, we hope if you'd like to really understand finance, the book to read is The Creature from Jekyll Island, written by Ed Griffin, who I've known for 44 years. That's The Creature from Jekyll Island. A small book written by our friend, Professor Sutton, Anthony Sutton, called The Federal Reserve Conspiracy. Because the Federal Reserve is a conspiracy. It's a privately owned central bank that interlocks with all the other central banks of the world in an effort to create a world feudalistic system under the control of a ruling elite. And, of course, these people are, in my opinion, controlled by the prince of this world, controlled by Lucifer, who is the certainly the spiritual force that is directing so much of what's going on today. And he is going to create a utopian world without God. That is the basic drive behind everything going on today, bringing the kingdom of God to earth without God. And so once you understand that, of course, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and then, of course, the other book we recommend is Fiat Money Inflation in France. It's the story of what happened in France in 1789, and you read that book, it's as true today as it was then. It's like deja vu all over again. Those books, The Creature from Jekyll Island, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, Brotherhood of Darkness, which is my book, which helps to tie together all of what's going on, and then finally, of course, the book, The Fiat Money Inflation in France, are all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's our 800 number, 1-800-544-8927. I do want to mention that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there and you're listening to us, do you agree there's a problem, and you believe that more and more Americans need to hear this, why, we hope that many of you give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And you do that by just calling us at 1-800-544-8927, and they'll give you all the details. If you'd like a free copy of one of our newsletters, we'd be glad to send it to you if you call that number. Of course, you can pull it down off the Internet. If you just go up on the Internet to RadioLiberty.com, and you can easily go there. You can listen to our programs 5 hours a day on the Internet, on the American Freedom Network, the Genesis Network, the Radio Liberty Network, the Republic Network, and Soundwaves 2000. You can hear us on satellite 9 hours a day, but believe me, it's all expensive, and we, of course, would like to be able to maintain what we have. So if there's any way that you can help us, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you out there will certainly want to get the material we have on water fluoridation. I think it's so vitally important that people understand that they're actually poisoning the American people. We have three great products. We have certainly My Talk. It's called The Hidden Agenda, which comes with a syllabus. But we have two new great DVDs. One of them is called Let the Truth Be Told. It's on fluoride. Let the Truth Be Told about how they're poisoning our children with water fluoridation, and specifically blacks. It's targeted at blacks. And then, of course, is your drinking water safe? Our number, 1-800-5-HIV. War. this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Frosty Wooldridge, and Frosty writes some fascinating articles. You'll find them up on newswithviews.com. That's newswithviews.com. He's one of the regular featured writers there, and that's a great website. Great information, but Frosty has been writing for some time about the dangers of immigration. Immigration, massive immigration, is actually being encouraged by our government in violation of our laws because they really don't care what the American people want. There is an elite that runs this country, and they have a different worldview. And they want America to become a multicultural, multilingual society and merge into a new world order with a new world religion, and Frosty's written a number of articles talking about what happens when we have another 100 million new migrants coming into America. It's all part of the plan to transform America, to destroy national sovereignty, to merge Mexico, Canada, and the United States into one big, happy, impoverished family where everyone is a peasant, except, of course, for the very wealthy, the elite, who brought it all about. And with that as a background, Frosty, how are you doing?
Very good, and Merry Christmas to you and all your readers, and it's just a pleasure to be on your show once again.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you. Whatever happened to was it a bicycle ride or a motorcycle ride across the country?
Yes, for those who would like to check out the 21st Century Paul Revere ride, you can go to the website. It's 21ST, 21st Century Paul Revere Ride .us, and you'll see that six riders completed a 48-state 20,000-mile motorcycle ride through 48 capitals. We were interviewed on 95 television shows, 90 newspaper interviews, and over 63 radio shows. We reached 20 million people, and it was a most extraordinary summer. Of course, I tried to make it a bicycle, but I couldn't get enough bicyclists to do the ride, but I did get the six motorcyclists from all over the country. We had Cindy Cindy is from South Carolina, Beaufort, South Carolina. She was a registered nurse. Her name is Cindy Roddenberry. She was fantastic. Rick Chiesa from Latrobe, Pennsylvania. And we had another gal named Misha Hardy from Perryton, Texas. My brother, of course, Howard Wooldridge, who was the trail boss, and he was from Maryland, Frederick, Maryland. Another from Venice, Florida, which was Don McKee, and yours truly, of course, from Denver, Colorado. And the trip really created a tremendous amount of hoopla and excitement, and we had crowds of 300 and 400. We also had sometimes bikes anywhere from 80 to 100 following us in great big parades and so forth. So the 21st Century Paul Revere Ride.us, there were 15 historical stories written on newswithviews.com. You can go there, or you can go to the website, and it'll show you all the comments from the summer. But we really made some pretty big impact, so it was quite a ride and quite an experience and quite an adventure for all of us. And I've been through all 50 states, of course, and all 10 Canadian provinces on 18-wheelers and motorcycles and bicycles, but this trip, all in one summer, was an amazing adventure through the American landscape.
And, of course, it was an effort to dramatize what's happening. We're losing America, ladies and gentlemen, not by accident, but by intent. Well, this is Dr. Stan Frosty. Well, why don't you just talk then about what's happening as far as this this massive migration into America? It's estimated that about almost 10% of the Mexican population now has come into the United States. It's being welcomed and encouraged by the current administration, but then it was welcomed and encouraged by the previous administrations, and who have steadfastly refused to pass the laws passed by our elected representatives, because the executive branch of government doesn't care what the American people want. It's all smoke and mirrors. They have an agenda. They just don't want the American people to realize what that agenda is. Would you like to pick up and develop that idea?
Certainly would. Ladies and gentlemen, you're seeing before your eyes an invasion that is now embedding itself into the very core, into the tissue of America. And it's being augmented and facilitated by this president and certainly essentially all 50 state governors and most of your Congress, both the House of Reps and the senators. And as I've said in many of my columns over the years, it is quickening. And just a week ago, Tom Tancredo, the House representative from Colorado, stated as he visited in Miami, Florida, that what it was a crime-ridden, multicultural nightmare, and that American citizens were not welcomed, and in fact that it had declined and degraded into a third world city. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I was on the Florida fleet as part of my summer job as a math and science teacher here in Denver, Colorado, starting in the early 1970s, and I was on I rolled furniture out of Denver and out of Chicago into Miami on the Florida fleet. So I got a front row seat for 20 summers, and I watched Miami turn from a beautiful American city. You could ask for anybody questions on a street corner, and you'd get an English answer. There was virtually no crime down there. It was all American city with all American people. And it was almost 25 summers that I loaded furniture for United Van Lines to augment my teaching, my fantastic teaching salary, that I got to see exactly what Tam Tancredo was talking about turn into the nightmare that it has become now. And anybody who thinks Jeb Bush knows what he's talking about, he doesn't. He's simply one of those people out there that, as Mark Twain said back in 1860, is the shabbiest of all lies, silent assertion. And silent assertion is when the public leaders, the politicians, and the media obfuscate, cloud, deny, suppress, or ignore any kind of a social wrong or anything going on bad in society.
Hold that thought there. We'll be back in just a moment here.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Frosty Wolfowitz is just saying that, you know, right now, that Miami, Florida has become a Palm Beach. Is that Palm Beach, Florida, or Miami, Florida?
Miami, Florida is really the whole southern part of Florida is being turned into an illegal alien immigrant haven. They don't like us. The Cubans don't like us. They've declared it as their city. It's North Havana, in fact. The schools are just turned to trash, and most Americans are really leaving Miami because it is such a nightmare to live down there.
And, of course, what's happening, the same thing's happening in Los Angeles. Los Angeles is no longer an American city. Chicago is no longer an American city. And actually, in Los Angeles today, the majority of the people are foreign-born. They're not all Mexican. Some of them are coming from other countries. But you go down there, you have a hard time finding an English-speaking radio or television station. Oh, they're there, but the majority are now Spanish or Chinese or Vietnamese or call them what you will. They're all... There's been an organized effort to change America because our leaders really march to a deafened drumbeat. They do not believe in national sovereignty. They really want to destroy the integrity of this nation. But, of course, they pretend to be such good Americans, and anybody who says anything like we're saying has to be a racist or a bigot. No, I'm an American, and I simply welcome people who come to this country legally and want to become part of our country and adopt our language. But what is happening is that is not what we're bringing in. We're bringing people who do not want to be part of our country, and they're being used in this whole thing. I don't blame the Mexicans for coming. I think they want a better life. But in the process of coming and violating our laws with the encouragement of our leaders, and many of them know exactly what they're doing, because they want a different type of country, and they are intensely violating the laws. They're lying to the American people, but they know there's no better way to destroy a nation than when they've got a multicultural society. Then they can play one group against the other, create internal discord, create a disruption of the society. And that way they can invoke their martial law, which is what I think they're planning. Because you see, when liberty leads to a loss of order, then the demand for order will lead to a loss of liberty. That's exactly what they're intending. And they are the ones, of course, who are preventing the enforcement of our laws. So pick up the story, Prosty.
Well, and that is exactly what's happening. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm writing right now for News with Views on Thursdays, if you want to go see it. It's a 15-part series called The Next Added 100 Million Americans. And what I'm bringing to light is what President Bush and the Senate and certainly the House of Representatives, all the governors, and no one else will talk about, will not address it, will not deal with it. And, of course, that's part of Mark Twain's silent assertion, the shabbiest of all lies. And this last Thursday, I finished Part 11, and it's called The Crowding of America. And the key here is for each and every one of us to understand that America is being forced to grow by this massive immigration, both legal and illegal, to an added 100 million more people in just 34 years. In fact, by next month, it'll only be 33 years. And that this next added 100 million Americans are really going to break the carrying capacity, are going to overload the ability for us to feed ourselves, overload our water systems, break our infrastructure, and simply create a third world country. Because you have to understand that while these New World Order people and these globalists want to bring all this thing called multiculturalism, it has been shown to be a failure. Multilingual situations in countries have created separate societies in England right now, and I was just there a year ago. Holland has shut down its borders and is no longer taking any more immigrants of any kind. France shut down its borders because it doesn't want any more of what's happened in Paris, France last year with the 10,000 firebombed cars, the schools in total disarray, the illegal immigrants themselves not enculturating, not assimilating, and not speaking the language of the host country. So we're already seeing the consequences in these other countries. You're seeing it with the riots in Sydney, Australia last year. And soon enough, America is going to be at odds with itself. It's called Balkanization, and you can see it in Los Angeles, you can see it in Chicago, you can see it in Houston, Atlanta, Raleigh, North Carolina, you can see it in Denver, Colorado. There's a special on the 26th, I think, of a week or so from now. I think Tom Brokaw of NBC is going to do a special. But no matter how many specials are given, no matter how much is talked about it, this invasion continues against the U.S. Constitution, and it is being aided and abetted by all of our leaders, the President, the Vice President, and the fact is they will all remain above it. They will have their gated communities, they will have their children go to private schools, and they will see the middle class being degraded into a lower class, and that's what a third world country is all about. And remember this, that the next added 100 million Americans, around 70 million to around 90 million, between 70 and 90 million, will be from third world countries, unable to speak English, having a third or fourth or fifth grade education from a foreign country, and you can already see the consequences growing. And one thing, Dr. Stan, is the fact that a republic deserves and demands four aspects to maintain viability. Number one is that the population of in a republic must have a high degree of education. Number two, that the citizens must buy into a similar moral code. They must adhere to a similar ethical standard. And number four, they must all speak the same language. Well, as you can see across America today, we're losing all four aspects of that at a blinding speed, and that we all will become victims. And I use in this next added 100 million Americans, I use the metaphors of the tsunami, and I also use the metaphor of Katrina. Now, last year in Sri Lanka, no one suspected a tsunami. In fact, you couldn't see it, you couldn't hear it, you couldn't touch it, you couldn't feel it, until, of course, it hit. And once it hit, killed 100,000 people in just a few minutes. And Katrina, though, was a Category 5 hurricane, and you knew it was coming. You remembered all the people had different actions, of course. They knew it was coming 10 days before it hit. They saw it on TV. They saw that it was going to have 200-mile-an-hour winds, and the television and radio and newspapers warned the residents. But unfortunately, some hoped it would degrade down to a Category 1. Others prayed it would change direction. Still others felt they would ride it out. Others waited until the last day or 2 days to flee, and then, of course, some fled 2 weeks beforehand. Well, what happened? Well, the fact is it hit, and those who stayed died or suffered horrible consequences. Those who were in too poor to leave became victims. Those who waited until the last 2 days suffered traffic jams, panic, no gas, burning buses, hopelessness on the freeways, and accidents from sheer frustration and angry fellow Americans in complete chaos. Well, I really want you to understand, if you go to News with Hughes and read all of these 11 columns of the first part 11 of this next 100 million Americans, is, ladies and gentlemen, once this thing hits, once 100 million more people are then added to America, you can't run, you can't hide, you can't escape. It's your country, and you will then be swimming in the soup of the consequences. And out here in the West, we won't have enough water. Cities, I was in Los Angeles for 4 days this last weekend. There was a 50-mile, five-lane traffic jam, gridlock parking lot from LAX all the way out to Palm Springs. It took me to do 130 miles. It took me 3.5 hours of traveling in this scary bumper-to-bumper traffic. Ladies and gentlemen, California is going to add 20 million more people in the next 30 years, by 2035, 29 years. And Texas is going to add 12 million by 2025. Arizona will add well over 5 million. And here in Colorado, we're going to add about 6 million. I want you to understand that once the numbers manifest, there's no way out. And I've already been to China. I've been all over India. I've been all over Bangladesh. I've been all over Mexico. Mexico grew from 50 to 104 million in the last century, and it is going to grow to 300 million in this century. If you think we're going to solve anything by allowing an average of 3 million people to add to this country every year, now until 2040, which is just 34 years from now, you are in the space zone or wherever you are, because we are in deep and dire consequences, and our children will curse us for having allowed this invasion and allowed this president and this Congress to continue this massive redlining, if you will, of our country and the economic engine until we simply just blow up or collapse or simply fall under our own weight. So, Dr. Stan, we're all, and this is, no matter what your race, creed, or color, we're all in trouble on this thing. And that's why I'm so passionate about bringing it to the American public, because I'm one of those messengers. I've already seen it. I know what's coming. I've seen what's happened with what's coming. And I do not want all of us in this country to become the victims of this massive experiment, this social experiment. It's no different than Karl Marx when he wrote, I think it was Hegel and Karl Marx got together, they both wrote the Communist Manifesto. It looked good on paper. It was in reality a nightmare. Multiculturalism looks good on paper, and it's a yah-yah, and oh gee, let's make a big happy bouquet. But the fact is, it doesn't work. It's a failure. It creates balkanization, separation, and total alienation by those who cannot, will not, or do not assimilate into the American dream. And beyond that, the sheer numbers of 100 million more people in this country are the nightmare that we're all going to have to suffer if we don't stop it.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. There really are people who believe in social experiments. We're not looked as human beings. We're human capital. David Rockefeller writing after his return from the Communist China in August of 1973, after Chairman Mao had killed probably close to 100 million people, said the social experiment in China under Chairman Mao is among the most successful and important in history. The social experiment in China under Chairman Mao is one of the most successful and important in history. It's just a social experiment, ladies and gentlemen, by the elite upon how to reform and remake society. They'll be in their gated communities, but where will you and your children be? Okay, Frosty, pick the story up there. And certainly I share your concerns about what's going on. Certainly Europe is going to be lost. It's another 20 years or so at the current rate of immigration, the massive increase of birth among the Muslim community, and the refusal of the people of Europe to have children. Certainly Italy is dying off, 1.2 children per family. France are actually paying families to have children, 1.4 children. You need 2.1 children to reproduce and maintain this society. Russia will certainly be a Muslim country within 30 years. Predominantly there are massive influx from all of Central Asia into Russia. And, of course, the Russians, they've done something to the males. They're dying off at 58 years of age on average. The average man in Russia dies at 58. It's a social experiment. I'm not sure how they've done it, but they've done it. They've accomplished that. And they'll give you all the excuses. Oh, he drinks too much vodka. That's the reason. Don't you believe it at all. They know what they're doing. They like to experiment with human beings. But certainly with the failure of the Russians to reproduce and the massive influx of Muslims, why, Russia will cease being a Russian country, will become a Muslim country, and Europe will be close behind, and America will be really an American country made up of people from South America, and of course, we'll have our share of Muslims as well. But it will change America, because these are people who do not understand our Constitution, do not understand the philosophy of our founding fathers, that you could never trust government. You cannot look to government to provide for you. All these people will vote for anybody who promises to give them something. And whatever that happens, it always ends up in the destruction of society. As Cicero wrote, the budget must be balanced. Foreign aid must be curtailed. The arrogance of the officials must be limited. And we must stop spending on domestic issues, or else Rome will go bankrupt. And that's exactly what happened. Rome went bankrupt, and they went from being a republic to being, of course, a dictatorship. And that's where America's headed, in my estimation. Would you agree or disagree, Frosty?
Total agreement with you, because that is exactly what's happening. Seymour Lipset, the great historian, said that if an autopsy was taken of great nations that have died, such as the Roman Empire, the autopsy would show that they didn't die from being conquered. They died from a national suicide. And that fact is now really coming to bear in France. It is coming to bear in Great Britain. It's definitely in Belgium. And if you look at the microcosms of Belgium, they're being taken over by the Muslims. Holland is... I rode with a couple from Holland, a teacher couple, last summer, a year ago, when I crossed Europe on my bicycle. And they said, we're going to have a civil war in Holland in the next 3 to 5 years, and it will be the Dutch against the immigrants. And the fact is, Muslims, unfortunately, do not assimilate into host countries. Their prime directive is to simply take over, and they take over by sheer numbers. It's going to be interesting to me as a historian and as an observer of the social scene now for the last 45 years is... when the Mexicans, who have a manifest destiny not to take over the four border states and beyond, meet up with the Muslims, who are now expanding out of Michigan and expanding out of the Midwest of America, when those two great forces clash.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris Frosty is saying that, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens when the Mexican illegal immigrants coming in here to take over America, and there's some of them who really intend to. Now, most of them are people who just want a better life, but they're being actually manipulated by, of course, their organizations like La Raza and Maldave and LULAC and all of these frankly racist organization. La Raza is the race. It's being funded, of course, by your own government. It's being funded by the Ford Foundation with tax-exempt money in violation of all of our laws. But when you find that the officials in our government actually are encouraging illegal activity and racism and encouraging this massive migration because of their intense hatred of America, and they really want, of course, to destroy this nation, The danger is not over in Iraq. We're not being attacked from Iraq or Afghanistan. We're being attacked from within. And what's happening in the Middle East is a gigantic diversion. And as our attention is focused on what's going on in the Middle East, we're losing our freedom. We're losing our nation here because of a planned program of migration, a planned program intent upon merging Mexico, Canada, and the United States. And that's known as the Security and Prosperity Partnership. You can go to their websites. Certainly, I suggest Dr. Corsi's writings. Those are available at, on World Affairs Brief. That's WorldNet Daily. WorldNet Daily has his material. In fact, we have a number of audio tape interviews with Dr. Corsi and his book, The Minutemen. But you can go to the website of the Security and Prosperity Partnership. It's under the Department of Commerce. It's spp.gov. Read their website. And, of course, they've put up things there to try to tell you we're not doing anything subversive at all. Of course they're doing things subversive. They just don't want the American people to understand. There is a plan to destroy the sovereignty of our nation by people who hate America because they have a different worldview, and it's all coordinated by an organization known as the Council on Foreign Relations, which is located at 5068 Street in New York City. It's probably the second most powerful organization in America, the first one being, of course, the Trilateral Commission. But pick up the story, Frosty.
Well, yeah, and one thing about this Security and Prosperity Partnership and the American dollar turning into the Amero. Ladies and gentlemen, if you think this is a good thing, I bring you to a halting and abrupt appreciation of what melding with Mexico. Now, melding with Canada is not going to be too much of a problem because it's a first world country. However, Canada has its own problems with the Muslim invasion there and the multicultural invasion there. If you'll notice in Vancouver 25 years ago, it was all Canadian. Today, Vancouver is 80 to 85% all Chinese. They're pouring in so fast because of the overflood and the overload in China that everybody and their mother is getting a foothold from China into British Columbia and Vancouver. And so the Canadians have fled. And, of course, you now have the Indochina gangs, you have the Indochina drug distribution center, and you have the degrading of Vancouver into a second world city also, much like Miami, because these are third world people, and they can't all of a sudden become first world people, because if they did, you wouldn't have all this horrific criminal activity, and you wouldn't have them changing the Canadian language from English, which is held for Canada all these years, into Chinese. Now, take another quick jump into Denver, Colorado. The last 3 years now, we have suffered a 67% dropout flunkout rate in the Denver public schools. And we only have about 400,000 illegal aliens in the state of Colorado, and we have only around 35, 40,000 illegal alien students. But they're in Denver. If this was going to be successful, if it was going to be equitable, if it was going to be a wonderful bouquet of all these people in this multicultural landscape, why do you think there's a 67% dropout flunkout rate? And, well, the fact stands that, unfortunately, what's coming into this country has a low grade to no grade to no educational standards or expectations whatsoever, and then that is impacting the schools here. California is even worse. And so if you don't think it's working right now, and the facts and the figures show that, how is it that it's going to happen once they dissolve the borders completely and then Mexico simply transports millions of poverty-stricken peasants up into this country? Ladies and gentlemen, there is no way we will survive this.
Well, I think that it's meant that we will not survive it because the people really do not want America to survive as a sovereign nation. They want to destroy our sovereignty and merge us, first of into the American Union, the North American Union, the American Union, and then the New World Order. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Frosty Wooldridge, and we're talking about certainly the immigration invasion. Our telephone number, if you're out across America, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Maybe you don't think there's much to worry about. Maybe in your part, wherever you live right now, this is not a major factor. But it's a growing factor. There is somewhere between 20 and, my estimation, 30 to million illegal immigrants in the United States today. The government's simply lying to you, as they lied back in 1986 when they passed the 1986 Immigration Act, and they said there were only 1 million illegal immigrants and we were going to give them all amnesty. But, of course, it was only going to be this one time, and there was only 1 million of them, and we're going to make them all eligible to become citizens. And there were actually 3 million here at that time. And they lied. They knew they were lying, but the American people have such short memories. Now they say, well, there's only really 10 to 12 million. What do you think the figure really is? Do you have any idea?
Well, again, and I've been reporting this for the last 5 years, when Ronald Reagan, who, by the way, said that it was the worst mistake of his entire presidency, was to sign the 1986 amnesty, we were shown on the demographic grids that there were 1.3 million illegal aliens in America at the time. And, in fact, Teddy Kennedy assured us of that. And, in fact, finally, after all of the smoke cleared, we gave amnesty and citizenship to 3.4 million people from Mexico and many others who had come here illegally. Today, the press and the president will tell you there are 12 million illegal aliens in the United States and that we should give them amnesty. And for those of you who didn't read my column a week ago, it was called Repercussions of Senate Bill 2611. 2611 was passed by the Senate in May of this year, and it is the one bill that will be the swan song. It will be the Fat Lady Sings song of the end of this republic, because it will bring in no less than 100 million people and as high as 143 million before 2050, which would be only 44 years from now. But the 100 million will come in definitely around 2040, which is only 34 years from now. Ladies and gentlemen, this amnesty is going to bring us probably somewhere around 20 to 25 million illegal aliens who will then get immediate citizenship.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and Frosty is talking about this new legislation that's passed that will bring in 100 million people, and it will bring in, what do you figure, about 26 million immediately?
Oh, right off the bat, no question.
All right.
And, of course, the real kicker on this thing is that they're going to all have a chance to vote. And as soon as they have the ability to vote, they can vote us out of our own country. They can vote more of themselves into this country. And I have to tell you, if you've seen the nightmare of Los Angeles or Houston, Texas, or Dallas, or Phoenix, Arizona, or even Miami, Americans just run from this stuff.
You're not even welcome there.
You're not even welcome. But and the real crisis is that they're simply taking over. They're taking over the schools. They're taking over the language. Their cultures are coming in. They will start then chain migrating everyone from their countries, their grandmothers, because each one of them gets to bring in up to 100 relatives, extended relatives, in this chain migration march. And so there is no end to the line. And some of the, in fact, Jeff Sessions of the Senate said that this bill would take in 217 million people. I don't care if it's a 217 million or 100 million. Ladies and gentlemen, these people that have come from failed societies, failed governmental, structures, such as Honduras, such as El Salvador, such as Bogota, Colombia, such as China, such as India, such as anywhere in the world where it's third world, they are the poorest of the poor. They all are essentially millions of high school dropouts. The fact is, a first world country cannot operate, cannot long subsist, cannot survive with an illiterate population.
And I think that's just an important point. Frosty, in the past, we always got the best of the people who really wanted something better, who were willing to come here and work hard.
Right.
And, of course, we've encouraged people with good educations to come. That is no longer the case. I mean, you know, we are not bringing in the top-notch people from around the world. We're bringing in many of the people, you know, who have no education, and even worse, they don't want an education for themselves or their families. Well, let's, right now, Frosty, before we go on, I want you to get your website and your telephone number out, and then I want to go to Ray, who's calling us from Santa Cruz. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Ray, first of all, let's get the website and your telephone number, Frosty.
Yes, my website is frostywooldridge.com. That's FrostyWooldridge.com. I would ask each and every one of you to pick up the 26-point action plan letter there. Pass it to 10 of your friends who pass it to 10 of their friends. Definitely join numbersusa.com and become a weekly faxer and phone caller. And please go to thesocialcontract.com. You will there find extraordinary top writers, the Social Contract Quarterly, which shows you graphically what is the danger and how much danger and how it's happening here to the United States. Order the Social Contract Quarterly, and you will be enlightened, and you'll be excited to be able to take action personally and or collectively. Make sure you go to alipac.us, that's alipac.us, and William Gein in North Carolina works that extraordinary website. Caringcapacity.org in California with David Durham is extraordinary. And the key is to get involved. Remember this, if you keep saying that they are the ones that are causing the United States to go down the tubes and they aren't doing anything and the president and they and they and they, well, the fact is this is a republic and it's you who must, and Thomas Jefferson said it, it's the common man who runs a republic. It's the common man who gets involved in the country that brings the country to where the country has to go. So it's a key, the key here is that each and every one of us get ourselves involved for our children's future.
Amen to that. Well, let's go to Ray, who's calling. And again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Ray. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, doing pretty good. I'm kind of worried about cities like Watsonville. It seems that they have a growing crime problem, but related to probably illegals. Certainly the town is going to expand quite a bit into beyond Freedom, and that area is going to expand and expand. I don't know who's going to be living there, but I have a good idea. Probably people coming up from L.A., illegals, and I'm prejudiced against them, but there's a lot of crime going on that's due to the Latinos.
Well, it is the gangs that are being
fought. The gangs, yeah.
When our government is encouraging lawlessness, is it any surprise when we have lawlessness? Our government is refusing to enforce our laws, and in the process of bringing in the MS-13 gangs and all of these other vicious gangs from all over the world involved in drugs. Of course, if you get into the background of drugs, you'll find that, in my estimation, the CIA is the largest purveyor of drugs and is working with many of these gangs to distribute this to intentionally corrupt our society. And anybody who doubts that, we carry a wonderful book on Vietnam, Kiss the Boys Goodbye. What was Vietnam about? Part of it was about CIA drug smuggling, bringing them back in the disemboweled bodies of many of the servicemen brought into the United States on CIA aircraft. The veteran boys, the boys who died in Vietnam coming home, their bodies stuffed with drugs. Well known. Kiss the Boys Goodbye, a fascinating book, suppressed actively. We now have copies of it secondhand. We make them available to our listeners. Kiss the Boys Goodbye by Monica Jensen Stevenson, long suppressed in America. Anything else, Ray?
I've noticed that there's a lot of Indian people and Chinese in San Jose now. In my brother's in the old neighborhood I used to live in, it's almost entirely Chinese and Indian, and I don't mind them so much. I think most of them are pretty good people and stuff, but the Latinos have this problem with the gangs and growing marijuana, and you know, and up in Oregon they have places up there where you can't go walking.
A lot of the Latinos are good people too.
Yeah,
it's just that we're encouraging people to come to this country illegally. We have laws. Why does the government refuse to pass it to enforce our laws? And the explanation is we have people at the highest levels of our government who are encouraged to law breaking. They themselves are criminal, having sworn a loyalty to this country and to defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And their enemies, their domestic enemies of our country, because they don't believe in our Constitution, they don't believe in America. And when you understand that, then all these things that are taking place begin to make sense, Ray. Otherwise, it looks like organized insanity.
Yeah. Is there anybody I can contact as far as in Congress and locally? I mean, local representatives that are involved in anything like this, or?
Well, our local representative, Sam Farr, and Sam Farr's on the other side. On that.
Oh, yeah, he's a globalist.
Your best bet is to get into numbersusa.com and
each
week there are letters that are pre-written for you, and they have your name on them professionally written, your address, your home, your phone number, and you simply punch a button, and they get faxed right into the office of your representative, your senators, your congressmen, the president himself, and other top officials.
Mm-hmm.
Over 1.75 million faxes go in every month from numbersusa.com right now, and Numbers is leading the way to making extraordinary impact to stop this SB 2611. So if you want to make major impact, go to numbersusa.com, become a member. It's free, doesn't cost you anything, and it's very simple, very easy. Then tell 10 of your friends, and then tell them to tell 10 of their friends.
Would you type in capital U.S.? USA, capital,
yeah,
capital
just letter. NUMBERS, USA.com, numbersusa.com, and you will be instructed on exactly, and if you want to do more, they'll show you how to become part of the phone bank.
Okay.
Grandmas, grandpas, moms and dads, college students are making huge impact, and have stopped, really they're the ones that stopped the 2611 from getting past the Senate.
Yeah.
And got jammed up, so
cool.
Definitely join that, and you'll be a part of the collective action.
Okay, great.
I think it's a good idea, Ray. I certainly concur.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Okay, that's about it. Okay.
Thank you for calling, Ray.
Thanks very much, Ray. And our telephone again number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. And people have to understand that, you know, as we said earlier in the evening, what is going on in the Middle East is an excellent diversion. But the threat to America is not from Islamic terrorism in the Middle East.
Yeah,
and
not
it's
at all.
Not that Osama bin Laden, who's probably been dead for at least for a year, is going to come over here and take over our country. It is that we are being betrayed by our leaders. We are being invaded as part of a massive program of bringing about the New World Order. But first of all, you've got to destroy America. You've got to destroy our culture. You've got to destroy our beliefs. You've got to destroy our hope. And when people are fearful, when people are impoverished, they're not going to be concerned about these abstract ideas such as freedom. And, of course, when good people are not involved, why the wicked people take over. And I could pick up and leave tomorrow, but I think often of what Whitaker Chambers said. He said, I'm leaving. He was, of course, a communist. And he left communism and spoke out against it. He said, I'm leaving the winning side to join the losing side, because I would far rather die a free man than live under communism. And what is coming down the line, call it what you will, communism, fascism, internationalism, call it globalism, call it, you know, the Council on Foreign Relations plan for your future, it's all the same thing. They funded communism since its very inception. But I remember those words of his, I'm leaving the winning side to join the losing side, because I would far rather die a free man than live under communism. And believe me, that form of collectivism that he abhorred is rapidly coming to America. And the question is, what are you and the listening audience going to do about it? Well, Frosty, go ahead. I certainly commend your suggestion. Numbers, USA, I've heard about them in the past, and they're doing a great job. Now, is there any new legislation coming down the line that we should be wary of?
Well, there's the biggest one is the 2611, which has just been stopped in this late part of the last session of this Congress. But since the Democrats are now going to be taking over the first of the year on January 20th, you're going to see a resurgence, and you're going to see all sorts of movement toward getting this massive immigration amnesty passed. And again, if it does, there's not enough of us who's, you know, one thing I've learned in my life is that if you're in a situation and there's something and everybody's upset about something, everyone is always waiting for the first man to stand up and the first man to speak out. Everybody else waits. Well, it's no longer, we're in such a critical moment in this first part of the 21st century. You can't wait for somebody else to stand up and speak out. You must stand up and speak out. And you must call your newspaper. You got to call your radio station. You got to call your TV station. You got to report on what's going on. You got to write letters to the editor. You've got to get involved in the immigration groups that are now building across the country. Get involved in the Minuteman Project and the Civil Defense Corps with men like Chris Simcox down on the border. The key is you can't sit back and watch this thing, or you're going to sit there and watch your children be swallowed up by this invasion. And the key is that most of us just simply watch, wait, sit back, and see what happens. But your watching and waiting is not going to do you any good, and the country any good, because you're simply watching the destruction of your own country. And there is, I want everyone to understand this, there is a concerted effort to degrade the sovereignty of the United States of America and make us into another kind of nation. And you're not going to like what they turn us into. And they are the president, the vice president, Bush and Cheney and Condoleezza Rice and all those people are they're part of and they're members of the Trilateral Commission. They're part of the Council on Foreign Relations, and they're a part of the high elites really fomenting a social experiment that is no different than the Communist Manifesto that has shown to be a complete failure except at the end of a gun, at the barrel of a gun, and that as they continue, and notice again, the third world is being poured into this country, and the middle class is being trashed down into the lower classes. Jobs are being suppressed and stolen by these immigrants, both legal and illegal, and that wages are being suppressed. I was asked, and I give a program across the nation. In the last 4 weekends I've been gone giving it at the University of Dayton. I gave it in Phoenix. And that is the coming population crisis in America and what you can do about it. And what I talk about is that one guy got up and says, I think you're wrong. China's doing fantastically. And I said, excuse me? They've got 1.3 billion people. They've got so much environmental crisis and consequence. Their rivers run in sewage. Their air is black with toxic pollution. And the average wage, the hourly wage of a Chinaman, and a China lady, is 22 cents an hour. If you think that immigration and blowing up our population to the next added 100 million Americans is going to be a positive, you and your children have got a very sobering and abrupt reality check coming at them and coming at you. We can only degrade the middle class down to the lower class by adding, again, 3 million people are being added to the United States right now every year. And with no end. And as I said, and I've asked for, we desperately need a moratorium on all immigration. We do not need more people in this country. Even if we went to zero population growth today, right now, population momentum, that means the children and the adults that are going to have babies in the coming years, before we stabilize, would add another 35 million to the United States. So even if we had ZPG, we wouldn't stop growing until we reached 335 million people sometime around 2030, 2040, whatever that number is. So no matter what, we're already in so much trouble with exceeding our carrying capacity, with exceeding the ability to water our animals, to water our cities, to water our crops. The ecological damage is just plain horrific if you keep up with my News with Views, part 11 of this, the next added 100 million Americans, none of you can go away without understanding that we are in dire and consequential straits, and that we either move now or that next added 100 million Americans will be here, will manifest here in this country within the next 34 years.
Of course, a lot of people think that this just can't happen. It can't be real. If it was, well, we'd hear from Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or Tom Brokaw or Brian Williams or one of the others would tell us. They're not going to tell you. They're part and parcel of the problem.
That's right.
We have the finest commentators in America that money could buy. They're paid not to reveal what's going on, but to conceal it until it's too late. Because there really are people who dream a different dream, who have an entirely different vision of what the world should be, because they do worship a different God or no God at all. And you have to understand that there are people who hate America and everything it stands for. They believe in an elite. They are part of the elite. They're part of elite organizations. They're well rewarded for their betrayal. And, of course, they have nothing to fear because, of course, we have so many Americans who are so apathetic, believing it could never happen here. Well, Frosty, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, Dr. Stad, thank you very much for having me on. And ladies and gentlemen, at this time of the year, this Christmas time, this birth of a child who has given renewal to all Christendom over the centuries, given hope, given inspiration, I challenge each and every one of you. Jesus said that you will go forth and do greater acts than I. That means that each and every one of you has the same capacities. And you are co-creative, if you will, with God's power. You walk with Jesus. You walk with God, the great creator of this universe. And you have the same abilities to take action and step up against the tide. Jesus in his time did it. I mean, he was an outcast. The rabbis didn't like him because he was thinking of a whole new way of operating. And again, his truths have come down with the integrity over time. And what I'm sharing with you, I have learned in my... I'm just a messenger. And the path I have taken is to show you and enlighten you and educate you to what we face as a nation, as a culture. And let's face it, it wasn't Muhammad or Islam that built America. It wasn't the Mexicans who built America. It was Americans. It was legal immigrants who came to this country and manifested that which we have held dear over the last 230 years, and we've been very successful to serve all those who care to be a part of the American dream. If you sit back and watch this thing continue, you're going to sit back and watch the destruction of your country at an ever-increasing pace, a rate of speed. And therefore, I encourage you, go to my website. You'll see all the ways you can get involved. Go to thesocialcontract.com. NumbersUSA.com, Alipac.us, certainly go to CarryingCapacity.org. All those are listed. Go to my columns on Mondays and Thursdays with NewsWithViews.com, and you will be able to read a history of how this country is being destroyed, how the elites are doing it, and they don't care. They don't care the next 100 million or the next 200 million. Why? Because they'll be on top. They'll be on the gated communities. They'll be in the top jobs, and the educated always govern the workers, and they are in control. And if we allow this to continue, the middle class will no longer be able to maintain itself here in the United States, and we will become essentially a second and even degrade down to a third world country. And the time is now, and Dr. Stan is leading the charge, and more people are gaining and growing on this, and we need to. Otherwise, again, Seymour Lipset said that great nations don't die, they commit suicide.
We're out of time. God bless. Thanks so much, Bob.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Well, that's right. And, of course, Frosty was simply quoting a Seymour Lipset who said, great nations don't just die, they commit suicide. And that's really what's happening to America. We're committing suicide not because the other side is so powerful, although they have the wealth and the power and they control the media, but because the good people are not involved. And the average person says, what can I do? You can do a great deal. I'm just one individual. Frosty's a school teacher. I'm a retired orthopedic surgeon. God has given me the ability to get on the radio and talk, and we've gradually built up a stable and a small group of people who are helping to support us. But you can get involved. You can help us. You can do it on your own, or you can help us. And if there's any way you can help, we can certainly use the help, especially now we've had some setbacks. But if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you can pitch in and help, we'd love to hear from you. If you want to understand this, what's happening from the immigration point of view, let me suggest certainly our four-tape set on immigration, our four-tape set on globalism, the book, Minuteman, the book Fighting Immigration Anarchy, that's Fighting Immigration Anarchy. You need to have the information, and you need to help us get it out across America. America is under attack today. The war is not in the Middle East. The war is here in America. And they intend to destroy this country from within. And while your attention is focused on the tragedy that's unfolding in the Middle East and perhaps even the coming war with Iran, why, we're losing our freedom here at home. And they are intentionally moving us towards a multicultural, multilingual society. Go to my website of radioliberty.com, and we've got a couple of excellent newsletters there on immigration. And if you don't have access to the internet, you can give us a call and just ask for the Radio Liberty letter on immigration. We'll send it to you free of charge. But you have to understand what's going on, and then you've got to decide what you're going to do. You're going to sit back and do nothing, and then try to explain to your children that you were just too busy while we lost our heritage? I believe that America is worthwhile fighting for, and if necessary, dying for. The battle is not with guns. The battle is with ideas. The enemies of freedom intend to declare a dictatorship in America. If they did not, they would not be refurbishing the Japanese prisoner of war camps, giving Halliburton $385 million to build new concentration camps here in America, and refurbishing the old concentration camps. If you've not yet seen our videos, the amazing clips, or we have a four-tape set on concentration camps. We even have a concentration camp special. And, of course, if you get that, why, we'll send you along a government publication on the use of civilian internees by the military. The use of civilian internees by the military. This is long-range planning. If you get the amazing clips, you'll actually hear the Iran-Contra hearings, where Congressman Jack Brooks is trying to bring out the fact that there's a plan for a dictatorship, and Senator Inouye keeps interrupting him. And finally, Henry Gonzalez, Congressman Henry Gonzalez, says there really is a plan in the case of a national emergency to suspend the Constitution and declare martial law and round up Americans and put them into concentration camps. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not imaginary. It's very real. You need to get the documentation we have. Let me suggest our concentration camp special, or at least our four-tape set on concentration camps. And if you'd like, of course, you can always request that government report. If you do get any of the items we've talked about, to put it into perspective, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get the new four-tape sets. Go up on our webpage at radioliberty.com. You can see them all listed there. Important four-tape sets will help you to understand what is going on today. They're attacking the health of our children. They're attacking the minds of our children. They're encouraging them to get the flu vaccine, which is not going to do them any good at all, but it's going to poison their minds with mercury. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know until it's too late. And so, please, our number 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.